Today's DAF is DAF TEF, and last year we're looking at how they did the lottery system and what was miraculous even about it. If it wasn't, what was the chiddush? If like Moshe doing this special lottery, what was the miracle that was involved to work out the bechoros that were redeemed and those that had to redeem themselves? I mean, by virtue of them taking the place of a Levi. So now we say Antoninus Hegmon, meaning officer, not the Caesar, Sha'al et Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai, Bichlal chasirim ubeprat yeterim. If you look at the klal, it says there were the number of levim we saw, 22,000. But if you look at the pratim, meaning the way you count gershon and kahat ma'ariri, as I mentioned in the Torah, gershon was 7,500, kahat was 8,600. Then we also had ma'ariri was 6,200. When you add them up, you're going to get 22,300. There was certainly plenty there, more than the bechoros. So how does that work? So amrale or tan shalosh mod, extra 300 you're referring to, yeterim, it said yeterim bechore. Is it Mediterranean? Bechorei is Kohanim Hayu. Now, exactly what Bechorei Kohanim Hayu means is a bit of a debate between Korban Eda and Pnei Moshe here. He says, no, they were the Kohanim, so therefore they're not counted. However, the way the Pnei Moshe explains it, it's actually Bechorei, they were Bechorei Leviim, meaning they redeemed themselves, they weren't part of the calculation. Because they were Bechorim themselves. Okay, which I think we're familiar maybe in the Bavli. Kuyotzeb, we find another time where there was some sort of initiative, some sort of a lottery that Moshe used, and again, the way Korban explained, there was a miraculous component to it. So let's have a look. It says, we had Moshe was told to collect 70 people to form the Sanhedrin. Moshe says, if I take six from each sheva, we're going to get 72. We're going to get 72. Asara, if I says, Asara mishisha, if I want to select 70, that means two shvatim are going to give one less than all the other shvatim. Which sheva it's going to be the one that's going to say, oh yeah, we're happy to be worse than the rest of Klal Yisrael. So Maasa, what did he do? Natali took shivim pitkin, took 70 like a petex, if you like, again lottery slots, dockets, if you like. Zaken, the shnayim chalak, that were 70, if you were like written on it, zaken, meaning you are now going to be one of the Sanhedrin. Another one was an empty one. Kalpi, you put it in the lottery box. Amar lehem bol kam pitkeichem. Go take your petex. Kol asher ole biyado zaken. Haya omer lo minucha min shamayim. Anyone who drew a zaken card, he would say Hashem has selected you. V'kol mi she'ala biyado chalak. Anyone who said, sorry, who drew with a blank, haya omer, he was saying, ma eseh wa karanu min shamayim hu. This min shamayim. However, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemia, Meitiv, they say actually, sorry, explain, Meitiv Tanaya Lechavraya. So I didn't read this as well as yesterday. Sorry, yesterday. So Meitiv Tanaya Lechavraya, I mean, one Tana asked the other that, Ilu Kataftani Zaken Salkat. Again, one of the people, in other words, one of the ones that drew a blank could have said, look, had there been a Zaken left for me, I could have drawn it. The reason why I got a blank is because there wasn't one. There wasn't a zaken. So how can you say this min shamayim? There was no chance. So ela kachasa natal. So what did he do? He took 72 pipkin, 72 dockets, for katava lehem zaken, written zaken on it. The shnayim chalim, there were two only that blank. So it was more tickets, if you like, than there were people of the 72 people that were selected. V'tiyan kalpi put in the lottery box. Amar lahem bo kamatul pitkeichem. Go take your petex. Mishalabi ado zaken. Whoever got zaken, amar kvam minucha min shemaim. You've been selected min shemaim to be on the Sanhedrin. Mishalabi ado chalak. Whoever got a blank one, haya omer. He would say to him, ma eseh wakan min shemaim. This min shemaim. However, meiti tnaya lachavraya. Once again, the one tana was asked a question to the other one. Hagev atzmacha. What are you talking about? Maybe shalu kulam zaken. The possibility is there that all 72 would have drawn a zaken, and that the system doesn't work that way. So Amarle, no, Maase Nisim hu Musur Gemalu. There was actually Maase Nisim that it worked out absolutely perfectly, and it was sort of interspersed where the blanks were. So Amar Shmuel Keshaita Kumei Rabavu Al Data Tanaya Acharaya, according to the other the letter Tanayim Maase Nisim. It was indeed a Maase Nis. Al Data Tanaya Kadmaya, according to the first Tana, however. Enu Maase Nisim, there's no miraculous thing about it. And if you remember, we said that the way the Korban explained it yesterday is it had to be miraculous because what was such a chiddush of using the Patakim? You could have used any manner of system. So it says, Amalei Maase Nisim ayu v'lo mesuragim alu, meaning that the blanks drew out, in a, if you like, in a cluster, one after another. And that was statistically more rare, unlikely than the rest, and that was a miraculous component. Fine, that's okay. Now, Shalan Antigonus Hegmon. So Antigonus Hegmon now asked Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai. He says, Moshe Rabchen, Moshe, your master, or Ganav, either he is a thief, Haya, or Lo Haya Baki Becheshbon, or he was not so good at maths. Why? Dichtiv, Bekalu Gogolet. Everyone in Am Yisrael gave a Machatzit HaShekel. Now I'm going to share this sheet here, which is got to do with the maths of the Sugya. Okay, I'll explain as we go along. Now, in terms of Jews, there were 603,550 that gave a Machatzit HaShekel. Now, let's just try and work out denominations here. A maneh, which means that really 100, is 100 dinar. And we've explained that that is, there are 4 dinar to a seller, so it's 25 sla'im. So the Machatzit HaShekel for your benefit, there's another second line, is a half a seller. Okay, so that was Machatzit HaShekel HaTorah, is a Machatzit seller. So therefore, in one maneh, you're going to have 50 half shekels. Okay? Because there are 25 sla'im in a maneh, and a half a shekel is a half a seller, so that's why you get to 50 half shekels in a maneh. Okay? So if Am Yisrael contributed 603,550 machatzita shekels, that equals, if you divide it by, as you meant to, then we get to 1,000, to 12,071 maneh. Okay? That's fine. The Torah says that when it was collected, it was 100 kikar and 1,775 shekel. Okay, that's the pasuk. I'll show you the Rabban Eda. He says, "V'kesef pikdu yada me'at kikar ve'alef." Right? I think that's the pasuk, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, something along that. That's what he quoted. Okay, now. If that's the case, 100 kikar and 1,775 shekel. So if we, how does this convert 1,200 maneh and 70? Like what? How does it align those two values? 12,700 maneh, does that equal 100 kikar plus 1,775 shekel? For simplicity at this stage, but don't get too fixated on it, I'm simply going to convert that 1,775 to the 71 maneh, which is what it equals to. Okay? Divided by 25, that's what you get, 71. So according to the Torah, really what he collected was 100 kikar and 71 maneh. Okay? So this is where the Antigonus comes to accuse Moshe Rabbeinu of either being bad at maths or stealing. Why? Because he says, Inta avid kintrin me'a, if you say a kikar is 100 maneh, then mea litra, then chad min ishta ganav, he stole a sixth. So let's just have a look here. If a kikar on this table, as you can see here, is 100 maneh, well, 12,000, because don't worry about the 71, the extra 71 we've taken off the side, 12,000 divided by 100 is 120 kikar. And the Torah said it was 100 kikar. Where did the extra 20 kikar go? That's what he's asking. And so, therefore, he's stolen basically a sixth, the 20 kikar off the top of the 120. Bring it down to 100. That's what he's saying. Because it seemed to be that a kikar, in understanding at the time, would either be like 100 or 60. So, therefore, he says, if you say it's 60 maneh, then he's stolen the shittin mitrim, then you've stolen a palga ganav. Because then, again, if a kikar is 60, and I divide 1,200 maneh by 60 to convert to kikar, I get 200 kikar. But the Torah says it was 100 kikar. So where did half of it go? That's the accusation or the suspicion. So either he's bad at maths, he doesn't know how to do conversions very well, or he pocketed it. So therefore, it says, Amalei Moshe Rabban Gizbar Neman Ubaki Becheshbon Haya. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu is trustworthy and he is pretty solid at maths. Why? And the gives a change here. There's Nusach on the system. Bechor it says, Umanesha Kodesh Kaful Haya. But what that means is, we'll discuss this a bit more as we'll prove it towards the end of the Sugya, that the Maneh in the Torah was actually double the Maneh that we're used to. So rather than being 25, it's actually 50. So if it's double the amount, that means really it would equate to being, and then if you say a 60 maneh is a kikar, then it actually ends up being spot on. Well, really, you can say it's 120 according to other conversion. Okay, so therefore, it ends up being absolutely spot on, because if it's double the size, you're going to get, meaning if our net is double the size of shkalim, that means a kikar is going to be, you're going to get half the amount of kikarim now. Okay, if a kikar is just a multiple conversion of a maneh. Okay, now amarle. So we're going to try and prove it here. Now here, let's just jump across to, if you like, the Korban HaEder, who switches just two parts of the sugya around. It's going to be easier for us to read through it. Amarle v'akti, what do you see? So this is a proof, Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai is trying to prove to the Hegmon that you can't say that it is 60 maneh. A kikar has got to be much more than 60 maneh. Why? Because it's v'akti v'et ha'elef v'shva me'od v'chamishim v'shiva. This is referring to the pasuk. It says this is referring to the vavim. And it says that that was 1,000, if you have a look here, 775 shekel. Now, if a, and by the way, to convert to maneh, that would be 71 maneh. Now, if you say a kikar was 60 maneh, it would have said one kikar plus so and so. But as you see in the Torah, it does, it'll simplify it for us and do it in multiples of kikar and whatever's left over. The fact that the Torah doesn't do that must mean it must be bigger than at least 75 maneh. So, litrin, as it says, turns into litrin. That's 71 maneh. But avid prutot, but the Torah still loses at 71. So amalei, it says maybe not. Amalei mishum delos salikuntra v'shlishta ganav. So the way he's saying it now, it's okay. It might not be 71, but maybe it is 80. This is the way the Qur'an explains it. Maybe it's, so in other words, maybe all you've proven to me that it's not 60 by saying it's the Torah used a reference to something that was 71 maneh and you use kikar. Or maybe it was 80, worth 80. Now, if it's worth 80, well, just for your benefit, let's do the maths again. 1,200 maneh divided by 80 equals 150 kikar. So he's still pocketed a third. Okay. So I'm a levaktiv. Now continue, it's still in the Qur'an, but nechoshet atnufa shivim kikar. So this nechoshet tnufa shivim kikar. So I'll just read the pasuk. It says, "V'nechoshet tnufa shivim kikar, ve'alpayim ve'arba me'ot shekel." So alpayim ve'arba me'ot shekel. Now it's already using a large denomination for kikar. It says that it was shivim kikar plus 2,400 shekel. Now if you convert that to maneh, that's 96 maneh. Now, if you wanted to say that a maneh, a kikar is 80, it shouldn't have left the remainder of 96. It should have left the remainder of 16, for example, and added and incremented my kikar quantity. So therefore, it must be that my kikar is now more than 96. Unless you still use that as a smaller denomination. So what it's saying now is, okay, you've proven to me there's got to be more than 96 maneh, but let's go back to square one, the first question I asked you, meaning maybe it's worth 100 maneh, and still he's stolen ishta, meaning a sixth. So back to this column in the table. That's where we're going. So if you like, back to square one, where's your proof that Moshe Rabbeinu is a good mathematician and didn't steal anything? So he says, I'll bring you the proof. Now back to the Gemara. This is now basic Amud Bet. Amar lei v'haktiv. It says as follows. V'ashekel is srim gera. A shekel is, we'll say srim gera. So it's srim shkalim. Chamesh v'esrim shkalim. So the way you meant to read this, by the way, shekel, shem neolachem. So v'ashekel is srim gera, esrim shkalim, chamisha, v'esrim shkalim, sorry, I was going to read the pasuk inside, but let me just read inside the Korban Eder. He says as follows. Hachi Pershov, Ikra yamaneh, the maneh was esrim shkalim, v'achak ha'chosifu, you read the pasuk that it was added and increased to also another 25 shkalim, so you're up to 45 shkalim. V'achak ha'chosifu aleim, they added es Srim machatzita shekel, which is chamesh shkalim. Funny way of reading the pasuk, but he wants to effectively get to the answer of being chamishim shekel is a maneh. Now, if you have a look above, we said how much is a maneh? It's 25 sla'im, not 50 sla'im. So you see a proof from this pasuk that the maneh was a bigger maneh, a bigger weight that was used. And because it was a bigger weight, therefore, it ended up being, if you like, in the Torah, the calculation, even though according to our calculations, where our maneh is really 25 slim, should have been 200 kikar plus. Now, I'm not going to pay 71 maneh, but 1,775 shekel. Because the maneh is a bigger maneh, it ended up only being 100 kikar, because you're hungry, because the kikar is 60 maneh, and our mina is bigger. So I'm not saying only, but in terms of the way it's working, because my maneh is a bigger quantity. So it was spot on, 100% correct, as the pasuk proves that the maneh that was used in the times of the Mishkan was a bigger weight, a bigger maneh, which is twice as many shekalim as what you were using as your basis to try and catch Moshe Rabbeinu out. So Amar Lei says, Kikar Shel Kodesh Kaful Haya. So Amar Lei Gizba Ne'eman U'Baki B'Cheshbon Haya. He says, you're correct. Indeed, Moshe Rabbeinu was trustworthy and he was very good at his Nas. Okay, hope that was clear. if you like Nas or don't. Okay, so I'm just going to stop this sharing. Okay.
Is really a Havamina that they could
Which.
compare the currency of their time to the currency of the Torah?
Well, that's the question, but true, but that's all they had to get to work with, right? You call it a seller, you call it money, you call these things, but the question is, prove to me otherwise. And the whole exercise went through the Gemara was to prove otherwise that indeed the what they called the money there was different to the money that the question was made. And where that was Adronach Perak Dine Mamonot Beshlosha, Adronach Perak Dine Mamonot Beshlosha, Adronach Perak Dine Mamonot. Okay, listen now, next parak. Kohen Gadol. Bring with thee Kohen Gadol, Dan, he can judge, Vedaninoto, and he can be judged as well. We will discuss that in the Gemara, what even the Habamina was to say. Otherwise, you need to say that he's judged. Me'id, he can testify, Umadinoto, and they testify about him. Now, what does it mean he testifies? Importantly, here, we're in the Kormaneda now. He says, Bifnei HaMelech, that's provided the king is there. Da'ativ Yativ lay sitting amongst the Sanhedrin, Umekablin Lesaduta. The Ka'azile, so the king's accepting the witness, the testimony, and then the Kohen is coming to testify. And the king is ma'ayinim, if you like, ba'iduto, and he's looking into it. Aval, im ein ha-melech sham, and the king's not there, ein kvodo shel Kohen gadol she'elech l'sham la'id. It's not covered for the Kohen to go. In other words, in the essence, the qualification here is, yes, he can go testify, but it has to be to his kavod, interestingly. Okay? You might think, well, he should go anyway. No, there's an Indian of kavod here. Choletz, he doesn't. He would do the mitzvah of chalitza. Interestingly, that you might think the fact that she has to spit in front of him when he does the process of chalitza to his black brother's wife, that would be beneath and degrading to him. No, he will still do that. That mitzvah applies. For chotzin l'ishto, they would do chalitza to his wife if he died without having children. Ishto, they could do yibum to his wife, aval he cannot do yibum because he's not allowed to marry a widow. Okay, aval hu enu meyabin hu ba'almana. Okay, but his brothers, presuming they're not the Kohen, they're not the next Kohen Gadol, they would be able to do yibum. Okay, met lo met, if a korot really passed away, eni yotzei lacharmita, he doesn't go out become tamei. Okay, ela hen nichnasin v'hu nigla, hen niglim v'hu nichnas. Meaning, if they were going to a mavoi, he would not go into the mavoi. Once they left, he would enter the mavoi. It's like the alleyway. And he gives the kavod at a distance, if you like, to the met, ad petach ha'ir. That's the Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Yehuda says, Ein yotze min ha-migdash. He doesn't leave the Beis HaMikdash at all. Shnema min ha-migdash lo yetze. He wouldn't leave at all. Okay? Fine. This is part of the limitations of a Kohen Gadol. He's mourning and aninut compared to other, even other Kohenim. Let's continue. Kohen Gadol, dan v'daninoto. So, nicha dan. I understand why he can judge, but daninoto, why would they judge him? V'yimne le'antlar, why don't we just send a representative for him? A mursha, someone given the authority to stand in his stead in the case. Why should he come to full Beit Din? So that's what the Havamina was. That's the other words. The Havamina is this exact point. Why the Mishnah have to say daninoto, that he can be judged? So the answer is, what if he has to make a shvua? What a mimiksad, or something like that, or a shvua dayanin, or some sort of shvua. Well, the representative can't make the shvuah, therefore he has to be present for antlav. The shvuah, he asks. Okay. Gemara says, Dine mamonot shelo bekama. Okay, let's say there's a monetary dispute. Do we do it b'shlosh esrim b'shalosh? Do we use for his kavod a bigger beit din than normal? Yes, beit din b'shalosh has its qualifications requirements for capital cases. But during kohen gadol, maybe din mamonot, we increase the number of dayanim for his kavod. Finish me now, looking for the following. So a king does not sit Yoshev bis Sanhedrin on the Sanhedrin. We'll discuss this in a minute. And also Velo Melech v'Kohen Gadol Yoshev be'ibur. And also a king and or a king does not sit when they're doing the Ibur Hashana, meaning working out exactly where they should add an extra year. Okay. Fine. Okay, so let's continue. Gemara says, Rav Chanina and Rav Mada, try to explain the second case. So why do we not let a king sit amongst the Sanhedrin? So this is the first case, sorry. What's the chashad? What's the suspicion here that we don't want him? That's the reason why we don't get him to be a dayan. The Koraneta says, Shiomru Sanhedrin matina din me'emat ha-melech. Because we're scared that no one will want to disagree with a king. And the point of a Sanhedrin is there's that many independent voices. So that's why he doesn't sit on the Sanhedrin. And similarly, v'lo bibur b'nei chashad, and also not sitting on the ibur hashana, also because of chashad. This is the first understanding. So chad amar this. Now what's the suspicion here? The chashad when it comes to ibur hashana is, according to the king, well, he pays his, he's got contracts with soldiers, things like this, on an annual basis. So he doesn't want an extra month in the year. Sorry, start again. He wants an extra month in the year rather than not extra months, so he gets more bang for his buck. Okay? And similarly, Kohen Gadol doesn't want to be so cold on Rosh Hashanah when he's walking around, on Yom Kippur, when he's walking around barefoot and doing the Avodah, so he might want to manipulate the seasons. So therefore we say, well, even if he doesn't do that, we don't want the suspicion that that was the motivating factor. Okay? However, change gears here. Another Shita says, no, the reason why a king and a Kohen Gadol can't sit in the Ibur Hashana is She'en Kvod HaMelech V'HaKohen, change gears, Kohen Gadol, Leshev B'Shiva. That it's not considered covered because it's not enough for the king or the Melech to sit only amongst this, as we said, Ibur Hashana can go 3, 5, to up to 7, if you remember. So, with only 7. So the Gemara says, Tachami, look at this, this is our proof. B'shiva, with 7 ain't kavodo, it's not a kavod Hashem. Lo kol sheken shlosha kavod chomer. It's not the kavod for the Kohen Gadol to be amongst just 3 judges. And the Arma, therefore, we see in this case, dinim amonot shelo b'esrim v'shalosha. That when it comes to monetary disputes, when for Kohen Gadol, it is judged in front of a Beit Din of 23. Okay, now, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Kohen Gadol shechata, malkinoto. A Kohen Gadol that sinned, he gets malkus. He's like everybody else in Am Yisrael. However, the in ma'abrinot megadluto, we don't demote him as a result of it. But he did tshuva, fine. So Amar Amana Ktiv, it says kizne zeshem yishchat elahav alav ani Hashem. So we derash from the ani kibiochol ma ani begdulati afaron haKohen beAaron begdulato. Amar this is Girsa insertion here, I think, by the Osva Adar. Amar Avan kadosh yelachab kibiochol ani begdushati. In others, the Kedusha is something that, if you like, endures. That's the point. Okay, fine. Yeah, we'll continue. So now it says, Rav Chanina Ktoba said, Rav Acha says, B'shem Rav Shlakish, Kohen Gadol Shechata Malkinoto. However, what Beit Din you give a Kohen Gadol Malkus? It has to be, again, gives insertion here, Beit Din Shel Shlosha. It is a Beit Din of 3. Now, if you say, oh, didn't we say before, when a Kohen Gadol is not respectable, it's not to his covered to be in a Beit Din less than 23. For Dine Mamanot, we said that to be a Beit Din of 23. So it says, in term, if you want to say a 23, Mimsa Aliato, Yudato. It'll have the opposite effect. We're going to be giving him Malchus here. The greater the crowd, the greater the Bizui, the greater the disgrace. So for a case of Malchus, yeah, that will deal with a Beit Din of 3 in the case of Kohen Gadol. Now, Rish Lakish says, Amar Nasi, when it comes to Nasi Shechata, now, the Nasi was, again, in times of Beis Sheni, it was more like the biggest Rav, if you like, but in the times prior to that, it was like the ruler, if you like, the most authoritative ruler. So, Nasi Shechata, Makinot, I give him Malkus, but Beit Din Shel Shosha, also in a Beit Din of 3. And the Gemara then asks, Ma Matzaron, like, can he be returned to his post? Amar Rav Chagai Moshe swears, says ein machzirin le dikatal. You don't return him. Why? Chashinan. This is I'll show you the Korbeh. It says chashinan shema kishiachzol nesiyoto. When he gets back to his position of authority, yin kom adayin biargem. He's going to take retribution. You gave me Malkus. Well, I'm going to I'm going to use my power now to get revenge. So the Ka'at, so Shama Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, who was a Nasi himself, was angry at this Limud Torah, if you like, that seemed to be, he found it disrespectful to the Nasi. The commentator says, Al Sha'amar Shamalki Nasi B'Shashat, that the Nasi would get Malkus in front of three. And what happened is Shalach Gantun, Shomrei Ginot, that's why the commentator explains it, Lid Mitpas Reish Lakish, to go and, if you like, to seize Reish Lakish. Tarpun, Arak, what he do, Tarfun is that he, Irbamam, it seems like Reish Lakish could hold his own with a bunch of crowds, and he messed them up. Irbavam, it says. Kolomah, he caught them, picked them up. Ubarach, he went to either a location or Migdal, okay? Either the Mugdala or the Amrin Lahadak Far. So he hid after that event. Okay. The Machar like Rabbi Yochanan Lebeit Vada. Rabbi Yochanan is the Vada. Vesalak, also this meeting place. Vesalak, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya Lebeit Vada also was there. So Nasiya Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Le, says, Lama late Mare Amar Le Minadurai. So the Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya said to Rabbi Yochanan, "Nu, why are you speaking words of Torah? Shari tachach b'chada yadei." Rabbi Yochanan started doing the one-handed clap. It's not very effective, is it? So Amar Le, "U'b'chada tapchim?" Can you clap with one hand? So Amar Le, "Ela lo, indeed I cannot. V'lo ben Lakish lo, but I also can't learn and teach Torah without Rishim and Lakish." So what happens? Amalei ela ani mefatcha. So you're turning into mafteach. You're turning your Reish Lakish into some sort of key in which you can only start learning Torah. So then, where is he? So Amalei bahada migdala. Okay. So he says he's in that location. Amalei lemachar ana va'at nifug lekadmaya. Both I and you are going to go and retrieve him, and I'll leave you in suspense because the story will continue. Well, a little bit in tomorrow's stuff. So to see what's going to happen with Reish Lakish and Yehuda Nasiya and Rabbi Yochanan. All right, Colton, have a good day.
Thank you.